Well, news about Christ from heaven is described by the angels as good news of great joy. And when you think about all the gifts that Christ came to bring to us, Jesus tells us more blessed to give than to receive. And so God would be the most blessed one in the universe since he is the best giver. And think about the gifts of Christmas that he brings. They're not for sale. They're to be received by any who would have need. Some of the favorites from the scripture. The forgiveness of sins given as a gift from Christ. And then there's heaven itself. We can know for sure that we're going to go and be with God forever. And this life is very important, very, very short. But in eternity, we'll be serving and loving God forever. The gift of His Holy Spirit in our bodies so that we walk and move around as a temple of God's Spirit. What wonderful gift that He would want to be so close to us like that. And then, of course, the gift of great joy. And I think when the angels came, they could have came with a message, "Behold, I bring you good news of great seriousness, sternness, and sobriety." And perhaps that would have fit in more with at least my countenance during many of the Christmas rush hours. But that is not what they came to bring. They came to bring good news of great joy, which is for us. And the gift of joy makes it into many of our Christmas songs and some of the great ones. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." And the song of "Come All Ye Faithful." "O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." I don't know if you feel faithful, joyful, and triumphant this morning. God would consider you that way with His Son. And then a song that was played as part of the prelude, "This gift of God," speaking of Christ, "we will cherish well, that ever joy our hearts will fill. How great our joy, 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 joy," and it echoes in that great song. And when you think about what the Lord came to give, He's not in the habit of giving gifts that we already have on our own. I don't know if you've ever received a gift that you already had. I had on more than one occasion similar ties. I remember one of the first times this happened. As we were children, one year our parents gave us a lot of game boards, and one of them was Monopoly. We had played Monopoly over our friend's house. It was great. Finally, we got Monopoly, and we were just thrilled and excited to play. Later in the day, Uncle so-and-so and Aunt so-and-so came over the house with a nice gift for us. "We've got a gift for the children. Open it up. Monopoly." Well, thank you. We like that gift, little brother, again. We already have that one. And, of course, the thank you level goes down. But the Lord is not in the habit of giving gifts we already have. When He says, "I bring you good news of great joy," none of us can say, I think, honestly, "We already have that one, Lord. We're already greatly joyful enough without your help." Humanity is not naturally a joyful creature. We are a tough-it-out creature, a dog-eat-dog creature of "I'll make it somehow," fight for the next piece of bread kind of creature. And it's the fall, you know, the fall of humanity that makes our heart that way. We require divine intervention to be joyful. We should never be embarrassed about that. We should just freely realize that. One famous king in history attempted to find joy in himself and in his accomplishments. And you may recognize him as I read part of his testimony. He said, "I tried cheering myself with wine." It wasn't the Christmas season, but that was his goal. "I tried cheering myself with wine. I undertook great projects. I amassed silver and gold for myself. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired." Boy, that's a secular Christmas spirit, if it ever was. "I refuse my heart no pleasure." And yet that famous king said that at the end of all that, everything was meaningless. He didn't find joy in himself or even in his great accomplishments or in the seeking of joy in different activities. That was King Solomon from Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And we might say that was Solomon's attempt to have a Merry Christmas without a Savior. It just wasn't going to be merry for him. But he did discover a life wonderfully joyful in God. Solomon did, for all his difficulties. Henry Blackaby, in the book Experiencing God, wrote this: our greatest achievement and accomplishment is really to be loved by God. And that comes as a gift. That comes as a gift. Already been given in Christ. So I think one of our challenges as Christians is not to seek after a joy like a holy grail that's yet to be discovered, but to say thank you, God, appropriately, joyfully, for what He has already done for us, and we simply didn't know it. And I think one of the reasons we have difficulty receiving Christ or following Him is because we're really not used to great joy as a gift. It's not our lifestyle. I had a fellow classmate in junior high named John Klein. I'll use his real name because it's a positive illustration. Haven't seen him since junior high. But he had a great enthusiasm for life. Enthusiasm means to be filled with God. And he kind of got into everything, you know, in exploring life as a junior high person. He didn't hang out with one particular group of people like most of us did. Either hung out with the people who did the sports teams, or hung out with a band, or hung out with those who were excited about academics, hang out with those who are not excited about academics. He hung out with everybody. And he always seemed to be full of life and very positive, smiling countenance. I don't know if he was a Christian or not. I wasn't, so I didn't bother to ask him. But I remember even during a test one time, the teacher got very angry with him and said, John Klein, wipe that smile off your face and take your test. Now, if he had a frown on his face like the rest of us, the teacher wouldn't have bothered him at all. He would have fit right in. In fact, no, I've never heard anyone say to anyone, right, wipe that frown off your face. We are used to that in ourselves and in the broken world around us. But the great joy that Christ brings is a mysterious stranger to us. Like a new gift we don't quite know how to handle. So maybe we hide it. Some favorite passages I have in the Bible that highlight God as a God of joy and a gift He would bring. Some of my favorites: Isaiah 55. You shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Lord, do that for us. Psalms 16, read as the Advent candle was lit. Lord, at your right hand there is great joy and pleasure forevermore. With God there's joy. It's a deep, abiding joy. Not a something better, but still a part of smile. God loves you. Something in the heart. Habakkuk chapter 3. Though the fields don't produce any food, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I might be hungry and hurting very badly and still be able to rejoice in God. He will be my help. How else do you explain why people have a measure of peace and joy even at funerals and in remembering loved ones? It's God helping them through the time. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. We always have someone to be joyful about, Christ. Luke 15, this is a good one if you want to be this one or pray that someone is this one. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. We could pray that for ourselves or for a person we're concerned about. In Galatians 5, the fruit of God's Spirit is joy. Someone said joy is love with enthusiasm. Joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and yourself. In 1647, a group of very serious-minded believers got together in England and wrote the Westminster Confession of Faith. And one of the things they dealt with was, what was the chief purpose of humanity? Why did God put us here on the planet? They came up with a very short phrase that has helped people get refocused towards Christ and His goodness. The question was asked, what is the chief end of man? The response given from all these great Bible teachers and believers who sought and prayed, they said the chief end of man was to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Enjoy Him forever. Now, I suppose when there's sin in our life and we're turning from God, one of our chief ends is to not enjoy God at all. In fact, that's one of the signals in my own heart when I think maybe I'm walking with the Lord, but I'm not aware of His presence. I'm not enjoying Him. It tells me I've turned my back on God in some area. My chief end at that point is that I don't enjoy God. But it's an opportunity to repent. If it's a testimony of yours that I don't rejoice in the Lord and that desire's not on my radar screen, then that's a warning from the Holy Spirit that come close to God. He desires closeness with us. Or perhaps I've never received Christ, so how can I have His joy? Well, God would come and be that for you. It's good news to have the great joy of Christ at Christmas. Christ would give us joy in Him. And, of course, joy is greater than happiness. Happiness depends on what happens to you and I, but joy depends on God. And, of course, He is always happening. He's always present and up to a great gift. When the Lord tells us He gives us joy, it's not a superficial happiness. Jesus, remember, was called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He did have compassion on the sheep that were lost. So if you feel like I feel lost, I feel like I'm a sheep without a shepherd sometimes. God doesn't say, shape up, man, have some joy. But He comes, understands with us. He fulfills the scripture in the book of Romans. He weeps with us when we weep so that He would rejoice with us when we rejoice. God will make it right if our hearts don't have joy. If anyone would come to Christ for the first time or in discipleship, Jesus said there would be a shepherd who would say, rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep. So God would have joy about you this morning. Jesus teaches in John 15, verse 11, I tell you this about His teachings. I tell you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy complete. What a wonderful gift. Jesus doesn't come and just say, I can make you joyful. Jesus says, I'll give you my joy. Something that we sometimes desire to do at Christmas. Come and enjoy this meal with us. Or I give you this gift and I'm happy about it. I hope you're happy about it. Christ is saying, I am a joyful man. I am a joyful Savior. I am not grumpy. I don't have a chip on my shoulder about you sinners. Give my life. I tell you this so that my joy might be in you and so that your joy might be complete. What a gift the Lord would give to us. And that gift is not just for ourselves to know when the angel said, good news of great joy for all the people. Thank you, Lord, you can bring us joy. I feel better now. I think I'll have a good Christmas. At least, I won't feel down. Joy is not just to be a gift shared just for ourselves, but to be passed on. Lord, make us joyful, not so that we just reflect your joy, but that some blessing and love with enthusiasm can be passed on to others who are hurting. Lord, do this for the sake of other people as we desire to give testimony to Christ. This broken world needs joyful Christians more than ever. There's so much sadness there. A great promise in Isaiah 32, verses 1 and 2, talks about the King Messiah and how He would change lives. And it says this, He will make each person a shelter from the wind, a refuge from the storm, and streams of water, like streams of water in the desert. What a humbling thing it is that in this broken world of sin, Christ comes to our hearts, and simply because of who we are with Christ, not a great accomplishment that we do, not even our own spiritual advancement or discipleship, but simply because of who we are in Christ. He makes you like a shelter from the wind for somebody else. When they're around you, they say, I don't know, but maybe you're just silently praying for them. It's like a stream in the desert. I'm refreshed when I'm around believers. The gift of joy in the heart of a believer. What a gift to other people. And the best gifts at Christmas this year are not at Kauffman's, are not at Toys R Us, are not at Best Buy, are not at K Jewelers. But the best gift at Christmas that you may give to another person is being wonderfully joyful in Christ. Because then to them, you'll be like the streams of water. You'll remind them of Christ Himself. And we thank the Lord for how He can change us from the inside out. Had experience of needing joy yesterday, standing in line at a Christian bookstore of all places, in the desire to do four things at once, finding myself behind a person who was joyfully buying about 18 gifts. I had one. They didn't let me in front of them. And the dear checkout person was the most patient, joyful person you'd ever want to meet. And I, when it was my turn, they said, would you like to sign up for a membership? No, I need to be at the hospital right now. And she said, well, may I pray for the person you're going to see? I was so angry I couldn't even think of the person's first name. But somehow she mercifully said, I mentioned the last name. Somehow I mentioned that, and she smiled and passed on a measure of joy to me that I had left in the Christmas rush, or perhaps in the sanctuary. But God brings us good news of great joy, and He abides. He's faithful. He works to have our hearts lean on Him for this. Might we rejoice in Christ, our joy forevermore. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to You this morning with thanks to You. The gifts we've been thinking about in the lighting of the candles, the gift of peace with Yourself, the gift of great joy. We're not used to this. It makes us feel clumsy and somehow even self-conscious. But rather, help us be conscious of Yourself. Even if we come with genuine brokenness and sadness, Lord, You won't turn away. And You never said, I only come to the joyful to work with them. You'd come and bring your peace and joy. So be that way for us so we might pass You on to others. Be our strength and joy forevermore. Be in us what we cannot be for ourselves so that we might glorify You, enjoy You forever, and share the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank You for Your Christmas gifts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last song, a great song. Charles Wesley wrote these words, and it's a wonderful song about expecting Christ.